Associate Professor Susie Wiles is a microbiologist at the University of Auckland, and she says she's been dreading the news that our country, as of today, is going to be lifting all remaining restrictions relating to COVID-19. Susie was very prominent in discussions when we were right in the midst of that situation. I guess she's saying that we aren't through all those challenges as of yet. It's great to have you on the program once again, Susie. Thank you very much for joining us. Tēnā koe.
Morena. So this is the news I've been dreading. And I think one of the reasons is that I don't see them as restrictions. I see them as protections. And so for someone like me who's following the evidence and, you know, really understands what this virus does to our bodies, you know, it sets up damage that's going to be, you know, a big issue in the years to come, as well as several, you know, about one in five people, I think, who get COVID will get long COVID, where they will have symptoms for many months. Some people may never recover. So I see these things that we use to help reduce the transmission of the virus as protections. And so the fact that we've lost these protections, I think especially masking in healthcare settings where, you know, we know there are more vulnerable people around, to me, this is not a good move, right? Because the virus is still here, and everything that we can do to reduce the amount of the virus that circulates means we protect people, you know, not just right now, but kind of for the future.
We're still quite regularly hearing of people testing positive for COVID. I know even in my own circles, there are some still going down with positive tests. Of course, you've touched on long COVID. Do you think we understand its implications as well as we need to before the relaxing of these so-called restrictions, protections, as you refer to them?
Yeah, I mean, in academic circles, in the literature, we're understanding more and more about long COVID. You know, for it's likely a kind of a term that means lots of different things, because some people will have the kind of fatigue that means they can't even brush their teeth and get out of bed. Others, it will be things like brain fog, you know, it will impact their ability to concentrate and all those kinds of things. So we know that it does lots of different things to different people. And I guess what it feels to me like governments around the world are not accepting just what an impact this will have on, you know, on our working population, because the majority of people who get long COVID are those who are, you know, in their kind of 20s to sort of 40s or 50s. You know, they are the bulk of the people doing the parenting and people doing, you know, the caring and people doing the working. And so if one in five of these people is going to be out of action for months to years, you know, that's going to be lots of people off sick. And there are, you know, I've talked to people with long COVID here. There's very little in the way of help for them, very little. So this is a big issue.
There's still 5,500 people who reported COVID last week. And for Māori and Pacifica population, Susie, you'd be well familiar that we struggled to get the numbers vaccinated against COVID that was the norm in mainstream for many reasons. So it is still very concerning when we look at the situation of COVID through a Māori lens. What might be some of your observations in that regard?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even for those who've been vaccinated, it's still hard to get access to healthcare, right? And so we know that the system is under pressure. I mean, it does really worry me. The good thing is that for Māori people, you know, if you're over 50 or 50 and over, you have access to the antivirals. So anybody who does test positive, if you are 50 or over, I really urge you, if you can, to try and get hold of those antivirals. I think the government has made it easier. You can sort of go online and find out how to get a prescription that way. But that's, you know, those drugs will help to reduce the amount of virus that you have. They'll help you recover faster, and they should. If the amount of virus you're shedding is less, it means there's less chance of transmitting it to other people, you know, that you're living with and things. So really recommend that you try and get hold of those medicines if you do test positive. But we just need to be doing all the things that we can to stop transmission. You know, it's such a worry, especially, I say, the healthcare. And even, you know, the fact that we have So the recommendation is still to isolate if you test positive. They're suggesting 5 days rather than seven. But the fact that it's now not mandatory means that if you don't have the sick care, you know, the sick days, you know, then you will be expected to go to work unless you've got an employer who will look after you in that way. But it means your employer now can't apply for the subsidy to help pay you while you're off sick. So that is not a good thing, right? This means that lots more people are going to be forced to go to work when they are unwell and infectious, and then will be basically spreading it to their workmates as well.
Tinakwe, do you sense that perhaps this announcement, you say it's jumping the gun, that it's politically motivated?
Oh, look, I don't know. I think we know that everybody's tired of even hearing about COVID, right? Which is very hard to help people understand what the implications are going forward. You know, we were one of the very last countries in the world to even have these restrictions or protections in place. So it was very clear they were going to go at some point. I guess my feeling is that we did something really different to the rest of the world in dealing with COVID, and, you know, we benefited from it. And so it's really disappointing that we will be following the rest of the crowd and removing these protections, especially because, you know, overseas, there's a new variant around, and they're starting to see case numbers rising overseas. And the problem is, once you lose a protection, it's very hard to bring it back. People go, well, why do we need this anymore? So I think, to me, it sent the wrong message. It's sending the message that, you know, COVID's just like everything else, and we know it's actually not. It's really serious, and I wish we were still treating it that way.
Tinakwe, Susie, from a scientific perspective, have we unraveled a little more about its potential for ongoing challenges? That's COVID. And of course, we have to factor in preparedness for a similar situation. What do we know about the spread of germs or pandemics now that we perhaps didn't know prior to COVID? What have we learned in preparation for another challenge of a similar nature?
I think what we've learned is a lot more about the importance of airborne transmission. So, you know, there was a lot of thought at the beginning of the pandemic that things transmitted through touching surfaces and things transmitted through droplets. So that was why, you know, if you cough or you and something's a big droplet, it will drop quickly to the ground. And so that's why there was this, you know, keep a distance away from people. Actually, when viruses are airborne or bacteria are airborne, it doesn't matter how far away you are from somebody. If you're in a confined space and that virus or bacteria is growing in number in the air, if you're 2 meters away from somebody or 5 meters away, it doesn't matter because you'll still breathe it in. And so that's the big learning. And that's why, you know, if we want to remove all these protections, we really need to be dealing with the air. We really need better ventilation, you know, things that get the virus out of the air. And so that's my big disappointment, is that we could have been, you know, we could have spent the last year or 2 years really dealing with ventilation, making our buildings much safer for everybody to be in. And then that would benefit us, not just for COVID, but for anything that's transmitted through the air, including things that give people like hay fever and stuff. And so that's my big disappointment, because the benefits of that, you know, would have been massive. And it's never too late, right? So we can still do those things. And lots of countries around the world are starting to bring in kind of ventilation standards. So, you know, I wish we did that, because it would make all of our homes and workplaces safer.